This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Tar Pit for weeks 3 and 4 of The Amazing Race 33. We're doubling up because, you know what, we spent two legs in Switzerland. It's a nice way to wrap things up in a nice, neat Swiss package. My name is Mike Bloom, back again with another motley crew of people to talk about what I'll call The Amazing Race 33.5 or 33 2.0, whatever you want to call it. We have restarted things since the blip. The Amazing Race looks very different. Very same at the same time, considering that we brought back two teams. One of them is gone. One of them maybe would have been gone this past week. But we have a lot to discuss, as per usual, about the odds and ends that exist out there in the Amazing Race universe over the past fortnight. First, let me bring in, of course, the co-host here on the Tar Pits, as well as the Amazing Race recap proper. Someone who is as essential to the Amazing Race as apparently belts are to Swiss farmers, Jessica Leese. Jess, how are you?
I'm great, Mike. I'm ready to get sticky. I'm trying to make that a thing. I don't know. What can we do with tar pit and sticky, or, you know, much like the racers, they were, you know, preserved over time over the course of the blip, much like the dinosaurs were preserved in the tar.
Oh, yeah. I like that. I like that.
It's
like
a stretch.
Are we the proverbial John Hammond? Then we're sort of unearthing it, you know, creating life once more, even if there are certain people in an Ian Malcolm type stepping out there being like, why are you doing this? You don't need to do this. Just because you could doesn't mean that you should.
Honestly, Mike, I think of myself as the John Hammond and you are the animated DNA molecule.
Bingo. That's the comparison that we're making here. Well, I am elated to have this person on. She had the pleasure of joining us during the Amazing Race 32. Of course, if you want to hear her talk Amazing Race besides this, you can check her out over at Silent Podcast, where she is recapping it every week. Now, admittedly, from my perspective, it's a bit worse, but I think I can say from my point of view, she is the number one Arun and Natalia super fan. So happy to welcome Sasha Joseph to the Tar Pit. Hi, Sasha.
Yes, I'm here. I'm so excited. I know I said this before we started, but I'm on with Jessica Leese. I can't believe it. I just want to say, for the record, the Tar podcast, when it was just, I think, you and Rob, right? Is when I started watching, like, in college. So it's so weird to, like, be on with you. The both of you were in my interview for a class of 2020. So it's just, I'm so excited to be here. I can't believe it. And, you know, like you said, my faves are struggling, but thank God I'm on when my faves are on the show. That's all I can say about them right now.
Well, we're really glad to have you, and I'm very excited. I remember that interview well, and I was like, we're gonna have to do something together at some point.
And so glad to be. Flash forward, you know, here we are right now talking about Switzerland in the Amazing Race 33. So again, Sasha, your opinions are certainly out there about the race, whether it be on your Twitter or on your podcast proper. But I guess if you could sum up your thoughts about the new version of what we've experienced these past couple of weeks, what are you thinking? Is it better? Is it different? Do you not feel like there's any sort of, major global pandemic that happened between showings of The Amazing Race?
Yeah, I think as just a fan watching, it feels like very much, I think y'all talked about this on a podcast already, where it feels like old school Amazing Race, right? With the sillier tasks and the more, you know, fun, like, we're just having fun and we're going to do whatever. I will say I'm enjoying this season. I think the cast is really great. Just all of them. I really enjoy even the ones like Ryan and Dusty, especially, who I'm like, oh, y'all are so far ahead of everyone. But what a story where you're just like, well, you deserve to win too. So I'm grateful for the cast. I think that's what's making me really enjoy this show and this season in general. But I'm like a simp for The Amazing Race. Like, they're going to put out nonsense and I'm still going to be like, wow, what a great show.
I mean, you're
on the right podcast.
Yeah. But they need you. I mean, listen, The Amazing Race has certainly had its problems in the past with ratings. So like, they are looking for, you are the diamond in the rough when it comes to the producers of like, oh my God, someone who's been watching The Amazing Race for so many years. Like, I interviewed Bertram and Elise for a story about obviously filming during the pandemic. And when I said I was like a day one race friend, they're like, oh, wow. Like, they just found basically a unicorn amongst Amazing Race fans. I mean, 20 years is a long time. I guess you take it for granted.
Well, that's how I feel when someone says they've been very excited to podcast with me. So Bertram and Elise, I totally get it.
No, it's just, I don't know. I think CBS doesn't give Amazing Race a lot of the love. And that's what I want people to understand, that like, I don't know that it's the show itself. Sometimes it's CBS not giving them as much love as maybe like it is the, you know, like people are like, oh, the production is low or whatever the reasons are. But it's just, it's so fun. Why don't you want to see people travel? And because you can put yourself in that task, right? Like, that's what I think is my favorite thing, is that, oh, would I do the belt or would I be doing flags or, you know, whatever? Like, which one would I be doing? So it's just, to me, that's what makes The Amazing Race amazing.
Interesting. So do you think Phil should take a page out of Jeff Probst's book and be like, all right, Amazing Race fans, here's your decision. Do you do twirl it or do you do punch it? It's sort of like what Jeff was doing in the lead up to the season, right before he went up, like, all right, I'm going to present a scenario to you. You tell me what to do.
Yes, task within the task, right?
Because then that does that TWT almost spells twat. I think that would work well for the show.
We're early in the podcast.
Yes, here we are. We're back, baby. But I think it would be fun. I think that's the point, right? Like, don't you imagine yourself being like, oh my God, here I am on my, you know, race. And what the heck would I pick? And then it's like, oh, well, my pick was wrong. Thank God I'm not on the show. Like, I love doing that.
Yeah, just, does that go away for you after a while as an Amazing Race fan, or have you always sort of put yourself in the shoes of the racer?
I mean, honestly, that's the bare essence of it. When you strip away everything else, even at times when you're kind of bored with the show, that's always a question you can ask yourself. And even when it's like, you know, wear an inflatable bull costume or shave a balloon, you can be like, well, which one of these would I do after I yelled at production for cheaping out on me?
After I smash the camera and realize how far in the pocket I have to pay out, even if I win $1 million, what do I get to do? Yeah.
Thanks, Obama.
So I want to go back to something I introduced Sasha with, because like you said, you know, Arun and Natalia, big two episodes for them, between them being brought back and then obviously trying to make good on both their second and now third chances. So first off, like, what drew you to them, their dynamic background, et cetera? And what have you thought about the very eventful five legs they've had on the race so far?
You know, surprise, surprise, I'm rooting for the Indian team. But no, it's, listen, again, like I said, if there's going to be South Asians on my screen, I am automatic number one fan. Like, I don't care. It's just who I am. We get crumbs, right, of representation. So I'm going to get what I get. But South Asians have not disappointed us on these shows. Like, Twinnies, hello. You know, Afghanimals, come on. Look at this. Aparna Isor. So I'm telling you, it's just, their characters are so funny. And Puya and I were actually talking about this. Like, even the way their house was decorated, we were like, oh my God, I have that, you know, rug. Why is that, like, the same that all Asians or, like, you know, all brown people have the same damn, like, pictures in their house? Like, why? So it's just stuff like that is what I really find, like, that I connect with. And Arun just listing off his daughter's resume in the taxi, it's like, got it. So it's not just my mom that does this. Got it. Thank you. And I think I tweeted that, and Natalia even retweeted me just like laughing and agreeing, because it's just, it's those moments that you that I can't really quantify in like, oh, these are the exact reasons, but it's more that how exciting is it to see two very fun loving just racers, but they also happen to share so much of what me and my family have and, you know, quirks and funny things that I thought were exclusive to my mom. And seeing, I think, a parent-child relationship as well, right? Where stereotypically, I think, Indian parents and children, right, maybe aren't shown in this way. But Arun is so kind, so calm, will always listen to Natalia. Like, I don't know that my mom on the race would do this. Like, she'd be like, shut up, like, stop the madness.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. From what I've been seeing, again, we get a small slice into not only these people on the race, but into like them in a very pressurized situation. But my opinion, Arun is hashtag dad goals. I mean, just the way that he really has such respect and admiration for his daughter, even in the midst of driving an hour in the other direction, is something really cool to watch when, you know, the race does not necessarily have the strongest parent-child relationships in terms of support of one another.
Hey, Dave and Connor, that's the only other one that I can, I think, remember that were like, wow. But even they were, I feel like, a little bumpy. But these two, just, wow. I don't think I'll ever have that much patience. Like, I have big Ray energy. That's why I would never go on the Amazing Race with a partner, because I end up looking horrible. Like, people will hate me. So, because I could see myself being like, you took us an hour in the wrong way. I need a break. I'm going to pull over. You suck.
Don't hug me.
Yeah, don't touch me. Absolutely not. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, Jess, what are your thoughts about? I mean, let's be frank about Arun and Natalia. Do you think there's a chance they can? They're in a slump right now, I think, suffice it to say. They had some good luck, but they have really been digging themselves out of a hole since they made a return to the race. As someone who has experienced some teams be able to make it to the final three despite having subpar records thus far, can Arun and Natalia fill that, or do you think they are destined to be eliminated in the next couple legs?
Well, Mike, we've seen teams hit every single non-elimination leg on a race and go on to win the whole thing. So, yeah, if the cards play out right for them, we could certainly see them in the finals. But it would have to be a lot of things going right. And I think they're still trying to get their feet under them. And I would guess that they could have that energy of like team that we're still wondering like, oh, okay, this team here, this team is here, this team is here. How are they still in it? They have real, how are they still in it energy? And, you know, I love them as people. They're, you know, their relationship is heartwarming. They're fun to watch. They're very funny, but I'm going to be wondering, how are they still there? If we're like three more legs down the road and we're watching them still like eke their way into the race.
Yeah, yes. Big agree. With, like I said, they're my faves, but oh my God. You know, sometimes you have problematic faves and I feel like here I'm just like, oh my God, what are they doing? But I want to give them credit. I feel like when they're at the task, they're pretty good.
Oh yeah.
So that's why I was like, just figure out the driving, please. Because I feel like they're fine when we get them to do tasks. So how do I get them a cab? Just them.
Well, that's one of the things I think is not working in their favor right now, because this is the amazing race where if you're good at directions, you're going to do fine. But in previous seasons, I think they would have had a better leg up where they were, you know, if somebody else is doing the navigating for them, like they fly into the town and they take a cab or they take a train, that would have worked in their favor a lot better. So they're going to need to get up to speed on self-driving in a big hurry.
It's interesting because when it comes to reality TV, we certainly ask ourselves, okay, how would these old school players play in a new school setting or vice versa? And we sort of get a glimpse of that in The Amazing Race, right? Because this is a new school season, but it has sort of like an old school phase to it, as you know, you mentioned and as Jess and I have talked about. And so we now kind of get this sense of like, oh, how would Arun and Natalia play in an old school season? Which is like, maybe they wouldn't handle it as well. You know, new school Amazing Race was the first couple of legs, and we saw them finish in third in Scotland. So like, or no, I think it was in London. I think it was that second leg.
The
so
second
like,
leg.
Yeah. So they, you know, had been doing fairly well up to that point. But I just think it's interesting that now we get to sort of see that experiment play out of how when new school teams do in an old school setting. Turns out Ryan and Dusty, no difference. Lulu and Lala do a lot better in an old school setting than a new school setting. Sort of vice versa with Aruna and Italia.
We're praying. You know, I think it was in Australia, right? This newest season that we saw where the team that won a leg had like the guide that came with them. So I was like, how do I do that for Aruna and Natalia? Like, can I call an audible? Can they just, you know, for one leg, give them a guide? I bet you they'll do well. I bet.
Yeah, instead of doing like an advantage for the first placers, is this more like an advantage for the last placers? Like,
yeah, something.
We did the groupings. We did the plane. We really want to keep everyone together this time. Yeah. So, like, in fact, we're just going to bungee cord your car to Ryan and Dusty's and they can pull you along.
Well, I love the idea. Something that I wish they did more of, and I think we haven't seen it since I think about season 25, is we need more mini quests on The Amazing Race. Like, we need a side quest where, or they did it season 26, where you had to have the same number of steps as your partner.
Oh my gosh.
And you win something. Or season 25 had it where you had to like find a certain number of, like, you could find the express pass hidden on the leg. I want to see mini prizes. I want to see, like, if you decide to go look for something, it's like a fast forward, but not as much of a reward as a fast forward. Like, if you find the right thing, you can trade it in to have a guide on your next leg.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I like that. Sort of like, for lack of a term, advantages found in The Amazing Race would be interesting. I do, and maybe COVID certainly handcuffed them a bit. I do find it interesting that any sort of semblance of like twists are gone for this season, right? Whether it be head to head, whether it be the yield, or especially the express pass we haven't seen since, I believe, season 29. It's basically gone the way of the dodo. So I do find it interesting. Again, season 34 moving forward, they're going to have a lot to figure out in terms of production. But I do wonder if looking at, again, this more simplistic old school layout of post blip, they're like, yeah, maybe we should stick with this for a little bit. And we don't need to throw in little random roadway based tasks to create additional drama for these teams.
It's like for Survivor, we don't want the all the flashy things, but now on Amazing Race, we're like, maybe give us some flashy things. So you just like make up your mind.
Yeah, I mean, why not try it out? Because I feel like they want to try out new twists.
Yes.
I mean, despite what Phil told us when he was shading Jeff Probst in an epic way, I think they would like to find something that works correctly. The problem is every time they put a twist in, they don't do it correctly. And then they're like, oh, this doesn't work. I'm like, yeah, it doesn't work because you deployed it at the wrong point in the race. So, you know, things like the head to head, it works poorly because they do it at the end of the leg. You need to give people a chance to catch up, or there is plenty of interesting things we could be using, but since they do them incorrectly or they don't think about all the ramifications of the game when they put them up, you know, it doesn't work out right. So I think if you had the right person game theorying all of it out and like being the guy with like the calculus in front of their face, you could find the right twists that would work well and be interesting.
CBS, Amazing Race, please. You have two people right here that are waiting for you to call them. Please do it. This is the audition tape.
I mean, Survivor South Africa called AJ Mass. If they can do that.
And Mike Bloom. And
I was going to say, like, let me a rune myself and pull out my own resume.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'll do it for you. I got you.
let me throw out a prediction here then. Will we see a U-turn this season of The Amazing Race?
Yes.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. They're just, every preview I feel like we're seeing, all the previews are literally telling us, Ryan and Dusty are in trouble. They win the leg. It's like now it's the third try, or maybe only second. I can't remember. But the preview is like, Ryan and Dusty are in trouble. So it's like, give them a U-turn at this point. Just figure it out. If you're the first team there, oh, you hit the buzzer. Oh, you got the U-turn. Sorry. And the next team gets the fast one.
Yeah. And put it at the end of the task. Crying out loud. For the love of everything. Put the U-turn at the end of the task so somebody does it first. Because it's not a U-turn if you have to go in both directions. That's a T-turn.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. Did they? Because I know they did it a couple times in the past couple seasons. I forget if they rectified it last season or not, or if they went back to before the detour.
I want to say they put it before the detour last time, but yeah. I don't remember. Yeah, I remember getting very angry. I think that must mean we did.
Exactly. If you can recall the, again, camera shattering outburst from last season, then that means that it probably was before the detour. So we shall see. I agree. I think if there's one place to put it, it'll probably be like, I'm assuming we're getting rid of another team next week. And then I think at the final five is probably mm-hmm. the right place to do it. I always feel mm-hmm. weird about U-turns at the final four just because yeah. there's too few options if you talk about timing of everything. So, and look, they have plenty of legs to fill. So like throw a U-turn in there if you want to.
I'm ready for it. I'm ready for it.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Let's get into some of our tried and true segments here on the Tar Pit. I want to start with some secret scenes because we do have a few from specifically this past week. Now, I will start with Akbar and Sherry because obviously they are a big to do between, you know, Sherry and Heights, name a more iconic duo, I'll wait from her time in Switzerland, and maybe a bit of, you know, tiffs between her and Akbar during the post-blip session. First off, Sasha, what is your take on the two of them? Everyone seems to have a take on Akbar and Sherry, for better or for worse. What's your take on them?
Yeah, the biggest thing is, does Akbar know that they aren't D1 athletes anymore? Like, that is the question. Because I think as soon as he takes a moment and realizes that, I think things will be easier for the both of them. Like, why are you doing, if Ryan and Dusty tell me I need to do something in 2 tries, I will be doing that in 5 tries, knowing who I am as a person and my endurance. So I don't know. It's just like, I think Akbar specifically needs to take a moment and like understand his wife a little bit, where understand that she's killing it, you know, for her, like her skill level. I think she's doing really well. They would have actually killed it on the sausage making, probably, because they could have had some time to catch their breath and then maybe could have ran a little bit to, you know, if they were in a foot race with someone to the pit stop. So I just think, one, they need to take a moment and realize they're not D1 athletes. And then secondly, I think, yeah, they should like understand a little bit about context clues and the race, which I think they're not doing so hot on. And then Sherry, just give her some love. Cause I remember when Sherry was like, I did both the roadblocks. He's like, good for you. And, or something like that. And I was like, are you kidding me? What's wrong with you, sir? That's when I would drop the bottle on purpose and just be like, now what are you going to do? Good for me. Right. So it's just, yeah, that's my take. I feel really bad because I think it works for them. They're obviously still together all these
very
years.
So, yeah.
But you know, as like the nonsense psychologist, as in no degree having psychologist that I am, I'm like, just take a moment. Like, celebrate her. It's okay. You'll be fine.
So that being said, Sherry is able to do, for a fear of heights, doing the second largest bungee jump in the world is like you said, something pretty damn commendable. So at the pit stop, we have a secret scene of Akbar and Sherry are asked sort of like, what did you dip into? What's in the reserves to have you make this jump? And they pull a very interesting reference out as to what made Sherry decide to do this. Here we go.
Something motivated you to take that leap today, that leap of faith.
What was it?
I can tell you.
Yeah.
It was it was Flight Time and Big Easy. Remember the episode where the old girl wouldn't go down the slide? And where was they at?
It was in Dubai.
So she said, I can't be that girl. So she just jumped right off because I had a weight restriction.
Seriously. Yeah. I mean,
I'm so proud of you.
Is it sadder to get referenced, you know, on a season, what is it, 18 seasons after the fact? Or is it sadder that people clap almost like in response to, good, you were that person. You went down the water slide.
See, that's why I would never go on this show, because I would be afraid of being that person that a decade later people are saying, well, I was just motivated by not wanting to be that person.
Yeah, I mean, listen, at this point, give me the clout. You know, like, I lean into me being a flop. Like, you didn't cast me on, I'm no Ryan and Dusty, like, period. I never will be. Even when I ran track and was on varsity in high school, I was no Ryan and Dusty. So, you know, at this point, let me lean into being a fool. Because I think I'll post the secret scene and be like, oh my God, remember that time I was an idiot? But I'm too competitive, so I would have done the jump. Because, like, in reality, do I ever want to look stupid? No. But I think if I do end up looking stupid, how do I like monetize that and get clout from it at this point?
Yeah, you'd make t-shirts of like you crying,
yes,
not being able to go down the water slide. There'd be an NFT of you freaking out.
Yeah, let me become a meme, you know, and be like, yes, now pay me every time you use me.
So Jess, I guess this sort of snuck up on me. When I think of infamous Amazing Race moments, I think about things like my ox is broken. I think about Claire getting hit in the face with a watermelon. Is Mika not going down the water slide? Has that slowly become part of the Mount Rushmore of Amazing Race?
I don't know if I'd put it on the Mount Rushmore, but I think you're going to see a lot of people this season that came in extremely prepared, having seen every episode. And I think it's probably top 10, at least. It also depends on how you are watching the show. I think if we're watching it to sit back and make fun of it, like Mike, you and I can probably name another dozen things that we'd rather talk about because it seems kind of mean-spirited. But if you're watching it with a view to this is going to be me and I'm going to go on this show, I think that's way up there as far as things that are going to stick out in your head that are possible outcomes for you on the program. And I think that's a different lens to view it through. So I certainly, if I was in that position, that would definitely be top of mind for me.
I'm just looking up actually now, Mika Combs, right? Because I believe Mika was the one who did not go down the water.
Yeah, her life is fine. She doesn't have a blue check, but she's been on a couple of TV shows. She's been on basic cable. She has a music career.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm actually looking at her. She started herself in Fox's short-lived The Hills Like Nashville reality series. I have no memory of this whatsoever.
Mm-mm. Not a one. That seems like that's more of a Whitney Duncan kind of joint, but maybe Whitney was too big time for that.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I have no idea.
Very true. I don't know. That might need to be the next. If they bring back the RHAP Rewind, watch Nashville from 2007 to see what Mika's doing. If they send her to the water park anytime soon.
Yeah, it should just be another one where I would pitch it to some weirdo show or where it's like, yeah, just make me like do everything I hate or the overcoming rather maybe all my fears.
Yeah,
like, well, that could be a thing.
Bill had a show like that.
Yeah,
exactly. Or what they do, Sasha, is Viewer Australia, and they put you on Australian Survivor, and they like give you a water slide challenge, right? So you'd freak out. When they one time cast a woman who got swept up in a tsunami, and they gave her a challenge to like jump into a big body of water.
Oh my God.
Well, that's a thing they do. Like, they didn't get questionnaires from these people this year, which makes me a little bit sad because we used to have a great time going through everybody's questionnaires. But they always ask them, what are you most afraid of?
Mm-hmm.
And then they get the people together who are most afraid of the same things and they have a task around it. Like all those people, I was surprised that year that all those people said they were afraid of snakes and there was no snake task.
Yeah, I mean, that just feels like money being left on the table.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm afraid of dogs and like cats. So any like animal shelter rescue task, I think I would like actually have a breakdown.
Retrieve this clue from the cat cafe.
Would actually freak me out.
That would be your water slide moment. Yes. I think that's another example, right, of like a seemingly innocuous task. Like when it would happen in season 15, it was super simple. It was, just take the water slide down to the pit stop. I don't think any of them expected that she would have a freak out at basically the line to the mat of,
right,
I can't do this. I can't go down the water slide. So this would be a very similar thing of like, you stand outside, like, I refuse to get the clue. I can't get the clue. I'm sorry. I have to quit the race right here. This is where it ends.
Yeah, Mike, I think
you have one of those.
Screaming.
I guess if there's a giant man dressed as a baby and he's like, get your roadblock clue in one of those costumes, like I would just run the other direction.
So king cake baby, basically.
If there was a real life king cake baby, yeah. They're like, don't dig through the cake to find it. Like, no, you have to, you know, taste a bunch of king cake and then lick the man baby at the end. I'd be like, nope, that's not worth $1 million.
Oddly specific, Michael.
Where's the plane? I'm going home right now on my own dime. Get me the Amazing Race plane.
So no boss baby promo for you.
No, unfortunately not. Sorry, Alec. Unfortunately, gonna have to sit out this one.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Let's talk about some more odd things when it comes to Lulu and Lala. So they're, again, they've been on a really great course so far, finished their highest place so far in second. I feel like we're finding out slowly but surely little things about their lives. And so in this week's secret scene between the two of them in the car, we get like a little bit description of, now there was a bit of a talk about, you know, what they feel like schooling should be like, but they had their own high school history, as it were, specifically their own athletics, and I'll put that in quotation marks. So here's Lulu and Lala having a blast from the past while driving through Switzerland.
Oh, look, a bowling alley. Fun fact, we were bowling champs in high school 2 years in a row.
That's not something you want to brag
yes,
about.
Yes, I am going to be proud of it, just because bowling was
all
the,
we got
wasn't
was
the
a cool sweater
sport
while everybody
in high school.
Else got trophies and cool gear.
We got a cheap sweater. Wow, we were champions. And I'm going to be proud of it. Don't ask me what my bowling score is now because it's probably crap.
It was never really good, man.
Keep it 100 here. Suck. I think you maybe played once. That's not true. Now you're just trying to make me look bad.
All right, so two very different stories about Lulu and Lala, the expert bowlers from high school.
Well, first of all, if you keep it 100, that's not a very good bowling score.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the reason why they're like, well, you only bowled once and you bowled 100. And so maybe there's a reason why they really sat you out the entire time.
Yeah, or you didn't get any trophy.
And apparently, what was their, they said their uniform was like a sweater.
Sweater. Yeah, it was like a bowling sweater.
That sounds, I mean, I guess, I wonder if it was done in the style of bowling shoes of like, you had to rent it, and so now it's this wormy ass sweater, like supermarket sweep that you have to wear that somebody else owned the year before.
They give them the shirt, Mike. You get to keep the shirt on Supermarket Sweep.
I know you do on the new one. I didn't know if you could on the old one. I thought they just like washed it.
Oh, gross.
Gross.
I think they'll let you like have a little bit of a souvenir.
They let them keep it.
Well, are we team like positive twin or negative twin here? Is the bowling involvement, is this like a cool thing or is this a lame thing to boast about?
I think it's cool. But I don't, you know, my sense of cool is probably not the same as a cool person's sense of cool.
I also want to say, like, anything outside of the ordinary now makes you cool. So I feel like if, like, everyone ran track, everyone, you know, did soccer, whatever, like football, right? And I'm saying this because I went to school in the South. So it's like everyone did this, but I think if you did something different, spelling bee, bowling, I feel like now it makes a better story than it would me talking about my track meet rather than you winning the spelling bee. I feel like I would rather listen to that. So, you know, so nostalgia factor wise, I think bowling's better.
Yeah, so maybe but, like bowling's better to talk about at 30, but yes. I think it's worse to talk about at 13.
Correct. I think I agree, unfortunately.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's tough. I also love the immediate rebuttal as well of, like, one of them. I think it's Lala just going, like, waxing profane about it, right? Of, like, oh, yes, the old days down in the alley, like, you only bowled once. We wore a sweater. We didn't have any trophies. We didn't do anything. It really does sound like, I'm assuming, that one of them really wanted to do it and the other one was forced to do it as well.
But I thought when you bowled, you wore a bowling shirt, not like a bowling sweater. Like, don't you get those cool button downs with like the block colors?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that is cool.
I think that's what Mike is saying. It was like handed down. Like
I don't know. I feel like a sweater is not the conducive apparel to have at a bowling alley, just because
it's really warm in there.
Can those shirts get matted? Like, that's what I wanted to ask first, but I was like, what's the word? Yeah,
I don't know. And I feel like there's a lot of like recycled air going on in a bowling alley, whether it's being blown up against you or just circulating around, that it just feels like very stifling to wear a sweater in.
Wouldn't you want, maybe they all had like the full suits, like the Jesus in the Big Lebowski.
Oh my God. No, I just don't. I think they misspoke. Like, I can't imagine. What just get now all these tweets about bowling sweaters?
Yeah, Lulu and Lala, if you're listening, I want to see pictures of the bowling team now.
If they only did it once, they're not going to have pictures.
Exactly. Or unless they really are in all the yearbook photos. They're doing it for the clout, as Sasha would say. Like, yep, we're part of the bowling team.
Full Rushmore.
Yeah, because I looked up bowling sweatshirts or sweaters, and I'm getting Bowling Green like the college. So.
They probably have sweaters. Although they're in the South, so it's probably warmer.
Yeah, I was going to say.
No, it's enough.
The we had sweaters in alley, ice basically. Days
in Oklahoma, at least. Yeah, I don't see no bowling sweaters, only bowling shirts.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's move on to probably a couple people that have bowled once or twice in their lifetimes. Kim and Penn, I just get a sense from that. I think they would do a lot of like pre-pandemic bowling nights with their kids.
That's fair.
So big to do around Kim obviously making this jump, and we're certainly going to get into this in a little bit when we talk about the Holderness podcast of it all. But in the drive leading up to the Verrazano Dam, because again they had 2.5 hours to just do
Verrazano Dam.
Was it the Verrazano Dam? What's the
name? Oh, you're thinking of the Verrazano Bridge, Mike.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mixed it. I saw a V and a Z, and my mind just went to Verrazano Dam.
I don't remember what it is, but it's not Verrazano.
Verrazano, right? Oh my God.
I don't remember. VCZ something. Amazing Race.
Verzaska.
Yeah, Verzaska. Okay.
The Verzaska Dam.
I'm sorry. I used to be the person that remembered that stuff, and I don't anymore.
Listen, it was close enough to Italy. So, like, the Verrazano, Verzaska, it's all in the same family, as it were.
I mean, it's the Italian part of Switzerland.
Exactly. That's what, this felt like very Italian. Just I don't know if it was between the wine and everything, but Phil noticed this in another secret scene that I didn't pull the clip for, that he was like, yep, this is the town, and if you look to the left, there's Italy. So it was obviously very Italian influenced.
Was there mist in front of it like there was the last time he was pointing it under other countries? Yeah,
I swear you could see it in there. It's somewhere. I mean, listen, if this is the closest they could get to Italy in the middle of the pandemic, that's a very good thing. So I think they were very planning to keep their presumptive 6 feet away from it. But on the way there, Kim and Penn are going to sort of talk through, obviously, Kim's understandable anxiety behind doing the bungee jump. But they are going to, again, lots of odd sort of pulls over the course of these secret scenes. They're going to sort of reference a study that was done about conquering your fears, which I honestly might want to bring into my own life. This is a bit of a longer clip, but I think they do a good job of crawling over everything about the idea of naming the tarantula.
So there was an exercise at UCLA where they gave 4 groups close access to a tarantula. And the people who didn't talk about it were more scared than the people who talked about it. The people who admitted their fears and talked about their emotions and actually said it out loud. Like, that's a tarantula in front of me. Just saying the name of the monster makes you less afraid of it. So when we get closer, Kim's going to say bungee jumping, and we're going to talk about, you know, how she feels.
I have to say, so we use a phrase in our marriage. We say name it to tame it. So when you name the emotion you're feeling, it helps you tame what you're feeling. And I have to say, I think I'm more anxious about, I feel confident that we are going to a place called Valle Verzacasa. Verzano. I feel confident we're going to a place called Belle Verzano. Is it the one the Amazing Race wants us to?
Yes,
go to?
Of course it is. Yes.
I feel more nervous about that, which is occupying my brain.
Are you doing that on purpose?
Yes.
Okay.
Honey, I don't deal with problems head on. You're new here.
You don't what?
I don't deal with problems head on. I deal with all the problems.
We're
going
to deal
it.
With this one head on.
Yeah, I know, but not right now.
Right. That's why I said, tell me when you want to name the tarantula.
Right.
Okay.
If you can name it, you can tame it. Stitch that on a pillow, in my opinion.
Sure. Like, okay. It's giving motivational speaker that can't, you know, actually make it happen. And Kim and Penn, like, are really great at this. That's why I want to know if they have psychology background, just the way they are able to pull on things and talk about, you know, love languages or, oh, this is what I'm dealing with. Here's like some, you know, they seem to be so good at everything. And I don't get it. Like, what, you know, what is it? Like, teach me. But also, I don't know that me naming, I'm about to jump off 722 feet is going to do anything for me. I think that'll freak me out more. At this point, blindfold me and just push me off. Like, I think I'd rather do that.
Yeah, just what is your take on both? I don't know if you know the answer to Sasha's question, but just this idea of naming the tarantula, that if you say what the thing is that you're afraid of, that it makes you less afraid of it.
I think that's right, because I think if you don't talk about it, it's just going to be in your head blowing up and like feeding on itself. I think that makes a lot of sense to me. And I'm not a psychology professor and I haven't even written a best-selling lifestyle book like Kim and Penn have, but that does seem like the right tactic. I mean, you don't want to overthink it. You don't want to spend the whole 2.5 hours talking about it, but you do need to get it out there. You do need to give a voice to what you're thinking. I think that is a really smart approach to it. But as for them, I think they have made a whole brand out of like their personal, like their lives, their existence. They've written books about like having a successful marriage. And since the point where they quit their day jobs to be content creators, like they have made self-awareness part of their livelihood. So they have to know what the other person is like and what they are like and how they will respond to any situation. And I think that is an Amazing Race strength. Like if your whole job was about being aware of who you are and making content out of it, I think that does give you a heads up on or a leg up on the Amazing Race.
Yeah.
That's an interesting point. Cause I know that understandably, fans are not big on content creators on The Amazing Race. And there's like understandable reasons if you just look at like the typical content creator, right? There's this adage of like they're always on, that they're going to be almost like performative for the cameras or too over the top and we're not going to see as much of themselves. But I do think that Kim and Penn work against that a little bit in that I think that they do know with themselves, but like they're not necessarily, at least in my opinion, they're not putting on a show. Like, that's just who they naturally are. Maybe it's just because I'm a pretty, like, energetic, dramatic person myself. But with no shade to, I don't know, Joey and Megan as an example, I feel like they much more embodied these sort of, like, negative stereotypes of influencers on these shows than someone like Kim and Penn, who maybe it's also that they're more accelerated in life, a little more grounded, that they, you know, don't necessarily feel like they need to have the wherewithal to be on at all times. I'm not getting that sense personally.
Well, that's a demographic thing too, Mike. I think if you're 23 and you're an influencer, that is a very different person that they put on The Amazing Race from being married parents in their mid-40s who came to the influencer thing late in life.
Yeah, that's very true, that they already knew themselves basically at that point.
Right. They got a chance to be themselves. Like there's a self to be. Whereas if you're making your whole brand, like if you already know you want to make a brand before you know what your brand is, that's a different thing.
Yeah, I also think that I personally felt like in the first episode, they were hamming it up a little, like with the queen and, you know, them kiss, like doing all of that where I was like, yeah, I get it. Like you're content creators. But I think since then, Mike, I completely agree with you that it's 100%, like them, and they, it feels more genuine, but maybe because they've also settled into the race a little bit and they had a 19 month, like pause, but still, yeah, I think that I will say I felt like in the first episode, I was like, I get it. You're content creators. Yeah. But then after that, yeah, it feels very real. It feels like they're just kind of the solid, like, relationship and these solid people that are able to, you know, do everything correct, which, and I appreciate, like, I don't find it cringy, and I thought I would, but I'm actually like, wow, like, I need to learn if I were to go on the race, like, to be like this and really lean into all my strengths.
Yeah, I think that is the thing, and I totally agree with you that I think in the first episode, and I would not be shocked if they felt the same way, because I think also the thing with reality TV, right, is like, when you initially do it, all you can really pay attention to are the cameras, and then they eventually kind of fade into the background, and that's when you sort of feel more comfortable. But I think you are sort of representing probably the number one comment that I see about Kim and Penn, which is like, yeah, well, they're less cringy than I thought they would be. I also Googled the name, the tarantula, just now to be like, okay, do I get a link to this study? But no, I just get a lot of articles to things you should name your tarantula. And that's it. So the phrase name the tarantula has still yet to break into the mainstream after this.
Oh, you know, you can name Voldemort, right? That's the point. Like, you had to say his name so he couldn't gain power. So yeah, as a Harry Potter fan, I guess I do understand that part.
All right. Well, if you need to name your tarantula, here is some of the top results I see from Google. Bird eater. Brownie. Chad.
Chad.
Clyde.
Just name it Voldemort. There.
Dipper. Dredge. Okay. And Locke. So we really run the gamut there.
Like, you know, John Locke?
Maybe. Don't tell me what I can and can't eat, says the spider as he goes to the flies. Yeah, I think Chad was the one that really took me. Just being like, hello, please meet my tarantula, Chad, and come into my... to my, like, black-lit room. That's what that's
probably
what
someone named face. Chad that would name their tarantula Chad.
Maybe or Chad Jr. Yeah.
CJ. Yeah, I like it. I'm only going to name, if I see any other tarantulas, whether it be, like, at a zoo or any other, I don't know, informal setting, I'm going to just name it Chad by default. I think all tarantulas should now be named Chad. I think that's the universal name for spiders. We have officially found it.
I know. I did go to the Joe Exotic. Like, I have met Joe Exotic a few times, but what? Yes, I lived in Oklahoma. Like, what else do you have to do with life? But he did have tarantulas, and I was like trying to figure out what he had named them. And I wish that I had that information for everyone, but he did like let them crawl on you. Like, you know, not spoiler alert, but content warning. Spiders. I mean,
that's definitely on the milder side of like letting his creatures, you know.
I'm ashamed. Yeah. That there were liger cubs that I have held.
Wait, so you can't do cats, but you can hold liger cubs?
Yes, I have walked with wolves. I don't understand. Like, the math, it does not work. Like,
is it domestication? Is that your big hangup?
I mean, I've been bit by dogs a few times, so I think that's where it comes from. And I don't know what it is about cats. I truly don't. But yeah, I like pet, like,
ligers.
And I fed a tiger. Like that, and it stood up straight, and I had to put the chicken like through. So I've done all of it.
My God. So again, like, that's fine, but don't put her in a cat cafe, folks.
Yeah.
I love it. This is my humanity is fantastically odd in all its ways.
Wow.
So Jess, we mentioned the Holdernesses, and on the Thursday recap, you and I put out the bat signal, right? Of the racers have so many great podcasts out there. We only have so much time in this world. Can we have people essentially TLDR us the information from the podcast? Was the call answered?
The call was indeed answered, and I actually even have a game for the two of you. This game was created by the great Kim Reed, who is a former Television Without Pity recapper and frequent listener to the podcast. And so she not only listened to every podcast that was available at press time, but she created a quiz about the Holderness Family podcast. So I'm going to bring that up now, and it is, how well do you know the Holderness family? These are some multiple choice questions.
Okay.
So, all right. And you guys can play cooperatively. I think there's Yeah, there's six questions. All right. Question number one. What part of the anatomy did Penn reference when he was talking about Kim's bungee jump? A, the appendix. B, Broca's area. C, the islets of Langerhans. Or D, hamstring.
Okay, so two of those are body parts. One of them, I'm assuming, refers to like either a part of your brain or like the name of an 18th century novel.
Yes, it's the brain thing. Now I remember. I think it's something to do with the brain because something about like being scared and I think it's the brain one. I don't know what it's called.
Because I'm assuming the islets of something sounds like, I don't know, an animated French film.
That's like a Thomas Hardy novel.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess, should we go with Broca?
Yeah, I know that he was talking about something about the brain. I feel,
All right, so we'll go for Broca.
Yeah.
Well, you are indeed correct. It was Broca's area. And you're also correct. He was talking about how stress freezes up the Broca's area in the brain, which controls speech. And that's why Kim's speech was garbled right before she jumped.
Oh, interesting. Yes. So it's this idea of like, when you're facing something terrifying, your brain just blocks the ability for you to talk about it. So that's why it's more difficult to name the tarantula than you might think.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's true.
All you can say is Chad. That's the only thing that comes out of your mouth.
Yeah, you jump off the bungee jump platform. You go, Chad.
There you go. They say name your fear. Just name it Chad. That's the easy thing.
Yeah, Silencio Bruno, right?
Exactly. Oh. There we go. Hell, come through, Luca. Speaking of Italy.
Speaking of Italy. All right, question number two. What equipment did Kim's mom suggest she needed for her bungee jump? Was it A, Spanx, B, a diaper, C, a helmet, or D, a blindfold?
Ooh.
Oh, okay. So if I'm thinking like practical, the helmet would be the most practical, but obviously least impractical because you don't need the helmet unless something goes wrong.
Yeah, it's like you don't want the helmet.
No, I'm thinking it's something more so for her, like a blindfold, to like not be able to see.
Right. Or Spanx. I don't remember this part of the podcast, Sam. Because Spanx, I think, would be a funny, like, older, like, what a mom would tend to try to drag you on, be like, you know, everything's flipping and flopping everywhere. Wear some Spanx. So that's the only reason, but I think we can go with yours, Mike.
All right, well, we'll go with blindfold.
Oh, the answer is C, a helmet. And Kim had to explain that if she, Kim had to explain that if she bungee failed, a helmet would not have helped.
I mean, yeah, that's very true. I think your head might be protected, but the rest of you is goo.
So much
that could be protected there.
That's a good point. All right, number three. What TV couple did Kim and Penn say they resemble? A, Phil and Claire Dunphy from Modern Family. B, Jim and Pam from The Office. C, Sam and Diane from Cheers. Or D, Scully and Mulder from The X-Files.
So my thinking is, I really am like keying into the Penn part of this, of like which character, which male counterpart would Penn think that he is. I don't think he feels like he's cool enough to be like he has the height of Ted Danson, but I don't think he'd be a Sam.
No,
I don't think he'd be a Mulder. I think he's much too perky to be like a David Duchovny type.
Yeah,
I don't know. For some reason, when I know it was the first one, but like Phil and Claire just jumped out to me personally. I don't know about you, Sasha.
So I unfortunately knew the answer. That's why I let you go through. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
Phil and Claire.
Yep, you're correct. It is Phil and Claire.
I have not heard a Modern Family reference in sincerity in maybe at least half a decade. Talk about a show that like really just fell out of the mind's eye of society in general, even though it went on for what, like 11 seasons?
Yeah, they just went off the air like maybe a year and a half ago.
I thought you could have fooled me. Like, I feel like if people said that it went away after five seasons, for some reason, I feel like it was probably a popular enough show, hence the 11 seasons. But at the same time, it was not talked about at all.
I mean, that's your classic ABC sitcom, I think.
100%.
It's one of those ones.
Like, there's so many good ones, but I don't know that we talk about it enough.
It's one of those ones that gets syndicated at the 6 o'clock hour right before the primetime shows start, right?
Yeah, that's it. They're like, that's where it lives on in perpetuity. That's why it feels like it'll go on forever.
Yep, it'll always be on.
Yeah.
All right, question number four. What explorer did Kim use to fill in the blank when she said she was like blank in the back seat? Was it A, Marco Polo, B, Amerigo Vespucci, C, Hernan Cortez, or D, Ferdinand Magellan?
All right, Sasha, do you know this one?
Yeah, so let's have you.
All right, well, now I got to go back to history. So I feel like Amerigo Vespucci, let's put some respect on his name, because he was the one that truly discovered America. But I don't feel like it would be that deep of a pull.
Absolutely not.
Where's his statue? I think it's too deep of a pull. Hernan Cortez also feels like too deep of a pull, almost in like the other direction.
Yeah, that's a yes answer.
That's more like she wanted to murder everyone.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh yeah, I really like, I'm in the mood for genocide today. So I'm feeling
Christopher
really
Columbus is the answer.
So it's between Marco Polo or Magellan. So I heard Dusty call Ryan Magellan on the show, I'm pretty sure, definitely in a secret scene. So I feel like that's where you're pulling it from. So I'm putting on my old blindfold and I'm calling Marco Polo.
Well, unfortunately, it was indeed Magellan.
Oh, yeah. Did they copy Ryan and Dusty, or did Ryan and Dusty copy them? Why was Magellan on the brain for everybody?
It could have just been one of those things that's out there in the ether, Mike.
Yeah, they probably all talked about it. Like, I'm sure at a rest stop or something.
Yeah, they're at the pit stop talking about their favorite explorers.
You know, are you
that bored in lockdown between legs that you start talking about your favorite explorers from the 1400s?
I like forgot about Magellan until she said it, and I was like, oh yeah, him.
What was his big thing? Was he the one who sailed around the Africa?
Yeah, he was the first Western explorer to hit the Pacific Ocean and going west, I think.
Yeah, I believe.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess good on Magellan getting a call out. What, like, nearly 600 years later. Yeah. That's what you should name your tarantula. Name him Magellan.
I like that. That's a good name for a pet.
That's cute. Yeah. Because they probably get into everything anyway. And you're just like, be where you have to be, not where you shouldn't be. So
I like that.
Most explorers, unfortunately, did.
Yeah. I should name my child Magellan. He's always where he shouldn't be. Okay. Question number 5. What celebrities did Penn think everyone in Lugano, Switzerland resembled? A, Roseanne and Tom Arnold. Oh. B, Rafa Nadal and Gisele Bündchen. C, Tom Brady and Gisele Bündchen. Oh. Or D, Pete Davidson and Kim Kardashian.
Oh!
Not Pete Dow, but absolutely.
What is that? That would say what? Like, the women in Lugano, say magnifique. The men, something to be desired.
They all like spaghetti or linguine.
Like sun.
Or like they're skinny.
Yeah, they need to eat more chestnuts.
Yeah, or sausage.
I've heard that Pete Davidson doesn't need any help in the sausage.
Oh, there we go. Pete Davidson doesn't need to learn how to wrap it. So the Tom and Roseanne feels like way too insulting, to be frank.
Yeah, especially with what Lulu and Lala were saying.
Yeah, so exactly. So we have to think about, okay, so we have to pick like one of Giselle's partners, it seems.
Agreed. Also, Tom Brady just retired.
I was going to say, breaking is all happening now as we were recording.
Literally right
Tom
now.
Brady's retiring.
Wow.
Listen, RHAP is making that effect is happening again.
Yeah, listen, I know we're not the sports rehab of the great Grace Leader is doing, but like what a week for massive quarterbacks retiring.
Yeah.
What a week for everybody retiring.
Awesome.
My personal favorite quarterback, Stephen Breyer, he's off of his team too.
Yeah, very true. Do you think, does this line up though, Sasha? You think we're going to get a Big Ben, Tom Brady, Amazing Race team for season 34?
You know, because I watch Eli and Peyton, like Tom Brady is so funny now. Like I was like, oh, he's kind of irritating. But since that episode, I was like, oh, like I'm into Tom Brady. I hope he does something funny because he actually seems very personable. And I was surprised that he was personable.
The Amazing Race could get Big Ben and Tom Brady, but maybe for like Amazing Race 40. Like you cannot get them fresh out of retirement. You have to do sort of like what we did with the D'Angelo, right? Last season of, he was several years out of the NFL before they brought him on. I think the paycheck would be way too big to bring those two guys. It would like quadruple the Amazing Race's budget if they brought them on.
Yeah, like he's like 1 million. Like, what? That's the price you win? Okay.
No, that's what you get for winning, dude. We're not going to pay that just for going on the show.
Okay, he gets a million for every ball he throws in the NFL, basically.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Why would he go onto the show for that? All right, so it's Tom and Giselle, or it's Giselle and who?
Rafa Nadal.
I believe it's Rafa.
Okay, we'll go with them then.
Yep, that's correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I enjoyed the all of the various paths we were led down discussing all these different celebrities. I feel like I'm up on current events now.
Yeah, you're everyone's welcome.
What's it say about my Twitter feed that there's no mention of Tom Brady on it yet?
You don't follow the right people.
That's because Sasha's talking with us right now. You know that you'd be filling the timeline at this point. Like, I'm surprised you follow Chappelle and he hasn't been talking. He hasn't said a word about Tom Brady retiring.
Dude,
yet.
Chappelle has to sleep sometime. He's gonna be sorry you missed that breaking news.
Oh my god. Yeah, I also think that no one that looks like Tom Brady is in this part of Switzerland. Like, Rafa, it makes a little bit more sense.
Also, yeah. Tom Brady would absolutely get like three penalties in the first leg for cheating, right? Like, he'd do the thing and be like, all right, well, you paid the cab to take you. You accidentally deflated the tires on someone else's car. Like, you unfortunately are eliminated right now.
Yeah, he understuffed his sausage.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Exactly.
But because he was Tom Brady, they got away with it, obviously.
Phil would not tolerate that. Jeff Probst might.
Yeah.
Jeff Probst would be like, he'd look the other way while he's eating off the craft services. But
that's how you play the game.
Like, what did it say when Chappies was doing it?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you weren't resourceful enough. He is.
Yeah, listen, if only you could be Tom Brady is really the Chappies of Survivor. Like, I love coming to this realization. And I think only this Venn diagram of people could come to this realization.
That's a good point. And it's one of those things, like, I would try to explain it to someone outside of the RHAP universe. And I'd be like, well, then there was Survivor South Africa. And then we were talking about how he ate off the craft services table. And people would just be looking at me. It would be like that meme of the, you know, me explaining and, you know.
Yeah. The person explaining, the person sitting back on the couch, right? Like slumped.
Yeah.
You and me in my house every day. Got
yeah,
it.
That's everyone I know every day of my life when I'm not podcasting.
I love it.
I was talking to someone and they were like, you podcast about reality TV? Like, people listen to that? And I was like, girl, check the stats. Of course they do. I mean, I didn't say that, but I said it nicely. Yeah, like, I was like, just go on YouTube, look it up.
That being said, I don't know how many people are backing you up at the whole Chappies is Tom Brady of Survivor South Africa.
No, that was a joke, everyone. I don't believe it.
I'm telling him as soon as he comes back.
Oh my God, not this. But I love Chappies.
Fantastic. All right, we got one more. Yes. One more question on the Holderness Family podcast quiz. Number 6, what movie did Penn reference in relation to their navigating skills on this leg? Was it A, The Wizard of Oz? B, Dazed and Confused, C, Dumb and Dumber, or D, Lost in America?
Ooh. So I know that they got lost for 30 minutes because they were ahead of Ryan and Dusty, but they got lost at the parking lot.
Yep.
So Dude, Where's My Car would have been a better.
Oh, yeah.
I'll
give that note to Kim.
Yes, thank you.
Dude, Where's My Car is probably the most apt one. What were the first two again? I know Dumb and Dumber and Lost in America.
Wizard of Oz and Dazed and Confused.
I feel like Dazed and Confused is a good one.
Yeah, because I think Kim talked a little bit right on the podcast about how there was so much adrenaline that she was just giving horrible directions and Penn knew that it was wrong. But to be a good partner, he kind of went along with it.
Yeah,
that's why I think. Yeah, I agree, Mike. I think
it'd be this thing. It'd be like it was literally like Dazed and Confused. We were dazed and we were confused. I'm just feeling that in Penn's cadence right now.
And you're saying Kim said it, right? So because she, I think, was the one feeling
Penn said it.
Oh, Lord.
OK. Then if it's Penn, then I think it's got to be Dazed and Confused.
Yeah, I think I'll. Yeah,
I don't know if they'd be that self-denigrating to call themselves Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, Penn would be that dumb. Self-deprecating. Not that dumb, but that self-deprecating because he did refer to them as Dumb and Dumber.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. That's really sad because they're not.
No, Dazed and Confused just makes sense.
It does. Dude, Where's My Car is probably the best one, except they were in their car while they were navigating and getting lost.
True. But is it a car that, or a parking lot? Yeah. Is it like any parking lot movie?
I can't think of one.
They failed.
Parking Lot sounds like it should be the name of like one of those gritty 70s dramas with like Al Pacino.
Yeah.
Definitely the name of like a Martin Scorsese film, right? Yeah. Like that all takes place in a parking lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. At work, we'll like, you know, if you're in like a facilitation, you're like, that was a great thought. Put it in the parking lot. So that's what parking lots remind me of. Mm. But to come back to later. But
OK, well, that's it. Amazing Race producers. Yeah. You have a lot of great twist ideas. Put some in the parking lot. even if you get lost getting there, like you put it away, find a good time for it. Don't feel like you have to just drive it out here and immediately debut it. Find a place for it in the parking lot.
I'm Talk picturing like and Mike. Yeah, the writer's room of The Amazing Race just like constantly talks in auto and road metaphors all the time.
Oof. They'd be like, let's get their engine started. We got to come up with the next detour.
Yeah, do you but think life as a highway is just looping in the background the entire time?
Yeah, we really got to stay in our lane on this one.
Yeah.
Exactly. Red light, let's break this down right now.
Oh, they probably have that. I'm assuming visuals of like, this is absolutely, we're never going to do, and that's red light. It's like, we need to work on this, yellow. And then it's like, absolutely correct. We are doing this next season, green light.
Going to Samoa is the green light.
Yes.
Yeah. I like this. I mean, if we ever do an Amazing Race think tank, I think that's sort of is the methodology, the terminology we can use.
Yes.
I like it very much. Yeah. Okay, so that's the quiz. We've got some more things in the podcast digest because as of last night, Kim was saying, oh, the only one that dropped was the Holiness Family, so I don't have anything else for you. But apparently, in the meantime, Lulu and Lala did have their podcast drop and also Dusty and Kayla. So we have a few tidbits from there. But I wanted to start, I wanted to stay on the Holiness Family for a minute because the one thing that I think really makes this the must listen, if you're going to listen to two podcasts about The Amazing Race all week, I think you got to go with ours and you got to go with theirs.
No, because, I also, yes.
Yeah, I mean, true. Start with ours because I've got a stake in that one. But they do a Zoom call after every episode with anyone from the race who can make it. And then they put it at the end of the podcast. So almost everyone was on this and it was terrific. It was just really fun to listen to. It was like if Amazing Race had a reunion show, this is what it would be like. But we get it every week. And so we did hear a little bit from Akbar, who's feeling a little bit attacked right now. And so he had a few things to say about people that say he's mean to Sherry. And he just points out that they're both athletes and that's how they motivate each other. And, you know, we talked about this a little bit on the recap where that's probably just how they speak to each other all the time. Yeah. But it's a little jarring if that's not the dynamic you have with your spouse.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Akbar says like, the white girl's got to stop coming for me.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Yes, he did. That's what I wasn't going to say it, but
I had to. And then Arun goes, what about the brown girls?
Of course, Arun seems like the type of guy, like, I haven't watched the Zoom, but let me just like throw out the way Arun is. I feel like Arun is the one who like just hangs back, very polite, doesn't say anything, but like every time he does, it's a nugget of gold. That's my assumption as to how Arun is on the Zoom call. Am I right?
That seems accurate, yes. Like I didn't even know he was on the call for the first 5 minutes of it. And then it's like, oh, wow, there's Arun.
Yeah, I just, and no one like even acknowledged that that was said. And I was like, no, this is the funniest part. What do you mean?
That's really cute. You know, we talk about, you know, obviously the Amazing Race 32 cast was super close because they had to wait so long for their season to come out. It seems like the Amazing Race 33 cast had similar circumstances with the blip. So it is interesting. It does seem like of all the CBS big three, the Amazing Race is the one that probably keeps the closest tight-knit cast overall, just due to, I don't know if it's the different circumstances versus the other shows, you know, the fact that they're competing against each other, but not really. It just seems like a lot of fun kumbaya between the teams, which I really enjoy.
Yeah, well, it's very unique circumstances. You know, the fact that you were all like allowed to be on a group chat before you finished the race probably contributed to that a bit. So let's see. There was a lot of interesting talk about how the race tasks and especially the tasks this particular week affected them emotionally. And Kim pointed out that all of the adrenaline that flooded her body when she did the jump really kind of overwhelmed her for the rest of the episode. And so she was kind of not really able to process everything. And then at the end of the leg, she just sort of had this complete breakdown because it was just so much in one day. And I think that's something we wouldn't necessarily know from watching the show, but I bet it's something that happens more often than you think.
Yeah. I mean, the killer fatigue is one of the biggest, like, underlying parts of the race, in my opinion, of just how tired you get. And it definitely affects your decision making later on. And yeah, I didn't even think about the fact that both in the lead up to and the subsequent jump, you know, I feel like so much of her energy was expended that she probably was just absolutely wiped the rest of the day when she still had to race.
Yeah, a lot of people, I think, even when they skydive, they say that they literally, a few YouTubers have done this that I follow, that they just took a nap in the car right after because they said it was so much, like, just adrenaline and everything pumping that they completely crash after.
Wow.
Yeah. So that I, like, forgot about it until just, yeah, I heard Kim say that. And I was like, well, duh. How did I not think of that would affect your racing abilities?
Yeah, it's weird that they do this every season, and this is the first time I've heard of that, but it makes perfect sense. It's got to be something that happens to most people, maybe not that intensely, but it has to be something that you have to factor in. So if you're studying up on like what you think is going to happen when you yourself go on the Amazing Race, factor that in. And again, it's a good argument in favor of going bungee jumping or going skydiving before you go on the race so you know how you feel after.
Yeah, also that's a shout out to the Amazing Race 3. Now, I feel bad for those teams because remember, they started the race by skydiving in Mexico, I believe. So like imagine having to start the race with that essentially and then carry on in a very stressful environment.
Oh my God, there's no way.
Yeah, there's no way. All right, so then Lulu and Lala's podcast has dropped and they had Arun and Natalia on as guests.
Nice.
This was an interesting bit of insight into how things were during the blip for the teams that didn't think they were coming back. And so they had a lot less time to prepare like the other racers because they had so little notice. And they were basically told by production that they might be part of the race, like maybe at a pit stop or they'd come to the finish line. And it was very late in the process that they found out that they were going to be allowed to actually race. And they thought the other racers might actually be angry that they were allowed to come back, but they also kind of didn't care.
Interesting. So yeah, maybe that sort of accounts for, obviously you have the Ryan and Dusty, right? Like running on mountaintops, carrying boulders to knowing when that they were going to eventually come back. But Arun and Natalia, they said that they did try to practice navigation in the interim, but maybe one of the reasons why they fell back into old habits is because they probably did not have as much time to prepare as they would have ideally had if they had known ahead of time that they were coming.
Yeah, and I think on the podcast, which is why I have decided I need to be kinder to them, is that I think Arun even said, right, that he was working at the restaurant the Sunday and then they left on a Monday. So that,
oh,
yeah.
Wow.
So
wow.
That, I can't remember which, like, was it their own, you know, podcast or a recap or Lulu and Lala? I can't remember. But either way, I know that Arun was talking about that. And that's when I was like, okay, it's either that y'all just had no idea. And, you know, I feel like we're forgetting that they were still, or we are still, but they were definitely still in the middle of a pandemic. And as frontline workers, right, in the restaurant industry, I can't imagine how hard they were hit. My mom owns a place at the mall, an eyebrow threading place. And I mean, it's constant struggle to get people to work. For not because they don't want to, but it's more just like COVID, and people get infected. So that's something also I completely forgot about. And I can't imagine like the tax that's on your brain to think about those logistics in addition to prepping after you got eliminated.
Yeah, it's a lot. I think you would really struggle in normal circumstances to keep yourself sharp, especially like you don't know how long the blip is.
Yeah.
Like we can look at this from, you know, 2020 hindsight and say, oh, well, if I'd been off for 19 months, like you don't know you're off for 19 months. You know, you think you might be off for 3, then you think it might be 6, and then you start thinking maybe it'll never happen. So it's the uncertainty of that on top of the uncertainty of literally everything else in the world that had to be tough.
Exactly. That's why I also give some excuse to like Akbar and Sherry as well, specifically Sherry, right? I've certainly have seen people being like, you knew you're coming back to the race. Why did you not train more? There's a secret scene from last week in which Akbar and Sherry talk about what they did during the blip, which I mentioned in our last week's recap about how, you know, they essentially didn't like the school shut down, but their program didn't shut down. They changed it to instead feeding the entire community, which instead I would say is even probably more stressful than keeping the school on after hours. And then they continued the lights on program once school came back as well. So I mean, they probably just didn't have as much time to hit the gym as they probably would have, specifically Akbar. So that's why, to Sasha's point, I'm also thinking, giving a bit of an excuse to these teams of, yeah, there should have been preparations that, you know, the team should have made ideally. But at the same time, they were also dealing with gestures around to the world in general that I think if they weren't able to dedicate their time to training for the Amazing Race by they like they did before, that's very much understandable.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally get it. And then Dusty and Kayla dropped their podcast as well. And so we've talked a lot about how Dusty was going full Hans and Franz during the blip, but apparently he had like literally, again, everything in the world going differently for him. And so he mentioned on the podcast that during the blip, he found out his wife was pregnant, had a serious shoulder injury and had to have surgery. They moved to Colorado and opened a bed and breakfast. His son was born in February 2021 and his father died in April of 2021. And that inspired him to get healthier, and he lost 25 pounds. And I'm like, all of this. And also, he's like the guy in the best shape of everybody on the show.
This is like the plot of five movies crammed into one 19-month period. Oh, my God.
Oh, well, that's hashtag 2021.
Wow. And this is why I can't even get mad if they win. Because I was like, yeah, you don't think this person deserves to win? Are you kidding me? Of course they do.
Something I did find interesting is one of the secret scenes this week at the pit stop, Raquel and Kayla, or I think it's actually in the car, when Raquel and Kayla are on one of their many, like, oh, we're doing so awesome jags. They talk about how Ryan and Dusty, but Dusty specifically apparently has this attitude of like, the race is ours. It's in the bag. Maybe we'll see more of that next week. If that's the case, I would love to see it. Because like you said, Sasha, like right now, they seem very competent. They seem a little goofy, but they seem like fine guys. Yeah. And we talked about this on the podcast, Jess, that like if the narrative is indeed slowly becoming, can anyone defeat Ryan and Dusty, very much like Justin and Diana from season 27, then I'd like to see a little bit more of that. Like, not that they're becoming the villains, but like if they're cocksure, let me see that cocksure.
Yeah, it's true. The fact that they still have that human element to them right now doesn't kick them out of the running to win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. It's like between them two and Kim and Penn, like that's, I don't know. It's so hard because I know y'all talked about Lulu and Lala or like the all girl team, but it's just the math is that's what I'm feeling right now. Yeah. Let's see.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. So anyway, thanks again to Kim Reed for doing all of this podcast listening and making some really detailed notes for us, and also for writing this great quiz. And I'm hoping that we can have her on as a Tar Pit guest for some point later in the future, because she's really great.
Yeah, and I was a big CHWOP reader back in the day. That's why the whole killer fatigue thing came from the beginning. So yeah, thank you, Kim. And hopefully more recaps for weeks to come, provided any more racers don't make any more podcasts recapping the Amazing Race.
Yeah, somebody else.
Akbar and Cherry, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, that's
they're
it.
Too busy.
For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
So let's get into, Jess already sort of started the game ball rolling, but I'm going to continue with it here. I have one and she has one. I'll go first here because this comes from Felipe, sent me essentially a quiz called This Country in Amazing Race History. So it's not as good as Twish, but that sort of is what we're going with here, because the racers in these past 2 weeks went to Switzerland. Far from the first time they ended up visiting this country. And so this is going to be a very simple true false quiz about all the different visits that the Amazing Race US has made to Switzerland. And I'm going to have the two of you work together on this one. Sasha was about to be like flop sweating if she found out she was facing Jessica Leese in Amazing Race.
Imagine. Trivia. I want anyone listening to imagine you're going against Jessica Leese, please. And then just goodbye. It was nice being on the show.
And meanwhile, I'm like, I have to remember Amazing Race history. It's getting harder and harder as we're 33 seasons deep.
True.
And some of these shows I haven't watched since they were on.
You're telling me you can't name every single team in order?
I think Mike could, but I can't.
No, there's a lot of seasons that I'm just like, oh, yes, something and something, dating couple. That's like the vast majority of gray matter is just those random names that end up bleeding out. Typically, again, the dating couples, because we get so many of them in an Amazing Race season.
100% agree. I'll see you and then I'll forget you existed.
Yeah. Oh, he was very tall and she had straight blonde hair. That's every dating couple between season 3 and season 24.
Yeah. And no half less. Of them won. So that also doesn't help things.
That doesn't help.
All right. So we'll have the two of you work together on this one. Again, each question is going to be true or false. So question number one. We have 33 seasons, obviously, of The Amazing Race. True or false, including season 33, we have been to Switzerland in less than 10 seasons.
Less than 10.
I would say that's true. I think it's probably 8 or 9.
Yeah, because I can imagine, like, I know that we've gone to Switzerland a lot, but I feel like they moved around Europe a good amount.
Yeah, I can think of like 4 times that I can remember.
Right.
So you are correct. And Jess was very right on the money. It was 8. 10 pit stops total. There were 2 legs in seasons 3 and seasons 18. But yep, only 8 times out of 33 have we visited Switzerland.
All right.
All right. Let's go back to, I think this was the first season. Season 3, the aforementioned season 3. True or false? In season 3, Ian yelled, "This is more important than your pants falling down," at Terry in Switzerland.
I mean, I feel like
sounds
that's
right.
Right. Like, I feel like that's, if you're more worried about pants falling down and me making like to a pit stop, then I'm going to yell that.
Yeah. And Mike knows the 2-word phrase that comes to mind when Ian and Terry come up.
Oh, asshat, right?
Paper underwear.
Paper underwear. I remember asshat was part of the recaps as well.
That was like part of the Ian's recaps,
Ian's dog flap hat. Yes, that is correct. I would have gotten this one wrong because I conflated it with Flo and Zach had a pants quote, which was also an episode title called "Why Did You Have to Take Your Pants Off?" Where, if you remember, a true pastiche of the early 2000s, Zach had the long pants that unzipped into the shorts. Remember it was a task where they had to put together and ride a bike and he unzipped the pants and that put them in last place. And so I would have thought that was Flo's quote of "this is more important than your pants falling down."
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think of other people. I was like, can one person say that to the other? Correct. So let's go with it.
Yeah, seems appropriate.
Yeah.
True or false? In season 14, the teams had to carry heavy cheese up a hill in Switzerland.
Yeah, I think that was the first season of the cheese.
Yeah, because I was like, I definitely remember the cheese task. Don't know where it was, but I feel like, yes.
The episode title was also "Don't Let a Cheese Hit Me."
Yeah, so that is correct. The very first leg in Amazing Race 14, which also featured the bunny jump off the Veracruz Bridge.
Very nice, Mike.
All right. You're doing so well so far. 3 for 3. Here we go. In season 18, true or false, there were 2 tasks focused on Velocilex bikes in Switzerland.
Oh, my God.
The F is a Velocilex bike.
I thought you were going to say Velocicoaster or like Velociraptor. Yeah.
Velocipede.
Yeah, Switzerland, well known for its Velociraptors.
I don't know what's preserved in the glaciers.
Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going false on that one because I don't remember that word and I feel like I would have practiced saying it.
Right? Because I feel like there's... Yeah, no.
I mean, listen, I'm reading them right off the page. I don't even know if this is the right way to pronounce it, but that is correct. It was in Austria that they had to do the Velocilex bike. Again, okay. My apologies if I mispronounced it.
All right. I will take your word for it. I'm not even going to Google it right now. I'll look at it. Right.
Velosolex? Is that how you say it? I'm not sure.
Now I'm Googling it.
Yeah. Me too.
They don't even look special. Like, they don't look like Peloton bikes. They just look like bikes.
Oh, yeah. There's those cute, like, retro bikes.
Oh, those are cute. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that's what they were called.
Oh, they're motorized.
Oh.
How cute.
If I saw a picture of them, I think I would have answered that it happened. So I'm glad I did not Google before.
Yeah, I didn't know that's what those were called.
All right.
Such a hardcore name for such a cute bike.
I know. Yeah. That's the name deceives it. Yeah. All right, let's move on here to season 22. True or false? In season 22, teams had to build a model train track in Switzerland.
That was not in Switzerland.
Right.
That was in Berlin.
Yeah. But they had to do some conducting also, right? Or the clue was on the... Yeah. I don't think it's...
Wow, y'all got season 22 okay. Nailed. That is correct. Yes, it was indeed in Germany that they had to build the model train track.
I do better with the ones I podcasted about.
I don't remember them. All I remembered with Berlin was this. Was that the one where they had like the night disco or something where they had to
the
wear,
giant
like,
letters?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about. Yeah, the giant letters.
Because that was the other half of that detour. You could build the track or you could carry the giant letters.
Oh, the letters were horrible. Yes, now I remember what you're talking about.
I love those letters. I want one.
All right. Next question. In season 24, true or false, teams had to clean up a rock star's disgusting hotel room in Switzerland. Now, I'm sorry, Jess, that I have to remind you The Amazing Race 24 exists, but...
Oh, yeah, Helga.
Yeah, I was like, I for sure remember this task also. But a rock star in Switzerland, does that make sense?
Was that in Switzerland, even?
Right.
I remember Dave flirting with the maid, but...
Yeah, I just... Do rock stars go to Switzerland?
I don't know. I don't know that I would trash a hotel room in Switzerland.
Right. Like, you're like, neutral, but I don't know that you're that neutral.
How hard are you partying in Switzerland?
Hello, Zurich!
Yeah, I feel like, again, this could be like another European country that this has.
I mean... Season 24 was phoning it in pretty hard. They might have just stuck this task anywhere, but I don't feel like this was
that a trick question. Are we like pen and raying it and, you know, talking ourselves out of the basic answer? Yeah, I can't imagine that's in Switzerland. I feel like
I'm going to say false.
Yeah.
You raid and penned it. It's true.
Oh! A rock star room in Switzerland? What the hell?
I don't know why. I don't know why they said to clean up a rock star's place in Switzerland. That's an odd choice, to say the least.
So weird. Yeah. Now somebody's going to add us about that. Well, yeah. Actually, one time Mick Jagger was in Geneva.
Yeah, he was at the Geneva Convention, Mick Jagger, famously.
Listen, he probably got lost. Because I don't think that he was supposed to be in Switzerland.
Yeah, he drove an hour in the other direction. Can't get no satisfaction or a map. All right, only a couple of questions left. That was the first one you got wrong. So again, making very, very good work. Question 7, true or false? In season 28, teams had to identify the 10 founding flags of the United Nations in Switzerland.
Ooh. What season?
Season 28. This is the
social media mogul season, right?
Okay, yeah.
The pre-Penn and Kim season.
Yeah. I remember the task, but I don't remember.
Exactly. That's my problem. I can remember. Yeah, like I was like, I know exactly the task and how they had to do it. Switzerland?
I mean, I'll go ahead and say I would guess it's true. I remember the task being a thing. I don't know if that was Switzerland or not, but
I mean, with you, and it's something to do with the UN. Again, I think it's a reach, but you know, is it that like, oh, Switzerland is like neutral and the UN is supposed to be neutral? Is that why they picked Switzerland? But I don't know. All right. Let's go with true.
That is true. Oh, yeah. And I have no idea why, if it's like, oh, it's the symbol of neutrality. But yeah, it was this weird leg where they went from Colombia to Switzerland and then like after the roadblock, literally after they did this test, they were told to go to France. So it was like right on the cusp of not being in Switzerland, but they decided to keep it in Switzerland for this test.
Oh, okay, sure.
It doesn't make sense for France either, but yes.
I was trying to think back to like favorite Switzerland moments on The Amazing Race, and I couldn't remember if the fondue from season 18 was that in Switzerland.
No, actually, let me look it up. I can't remember if it was, because we know obviously from a previous question that they were in Switzerland, and they spent a couple of legs there. So I know the first one was up in the mountains with search and rescue, and then they had to make the chocolate gnome. I remember that was a big
deal. Oh, yeah.
I remember that one now. Yes.
And the awesome. Second one is... Nope. The second detour was... it was.
Yeah, it was sorry. In Zermatt. Yeah.
Sorry, I just skipped down to the second one. The first one was cheese or wheeze. Cheese where you had
stretch.
To finish the fondue on the Ferris wheel, and wheeze where you had to dress up like bellhops and lug around a bunch of luggage.
It wasn't on the Ferris wheel.
Also, another hotel room pass, though.
Yeah. Oh, that's, I always mix that up. Yeah, I was thinking of the other thing you have to eat while you're on the Ferris wheel.
So that's interesting,
yeah,
though.
But I like Zev and Justin. Yeah. Well, you know, it's easy because they've already blocked off that area.
Right. That makes sense.
All right, final question, and it's the final appearance of Switzerland prior to season 33, or is it? True or false, in season 31, aka the Reality Stars season, the U-turn vote happened in Switzerland. So talking about one-time twists, the infamous U-turn vote where the teams were gathered and said, vote for who's going to be U-turned. Did that happen in Switzerland or not?
Oh, my God. Yes. I can literally see it. They were in that.
No.
Oh, my God. Can see where it happened too.
Yeah, they're like in this like kind of open
where thing. You know the same place. I feel like where they canceled the race. I feel like it looked
very similar. Yeah. Okay. Same. I'm gonna say yes, it did.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, it did. Okay. Specifically said it was because Switzerland was, as he vocalized during the restart, like the most neutral country, and talked about. I think he mentioned the Geneva Convention there as well, of like where people would gather to like make decisions, and that's where they did. The infamous U-turn vote where there was all that drama between the Riley Slater sisters and Victor and Nicole.
Yeah, I was like, I remember all of that, but not the country.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations. Save one question where you essentially like talked yourselves out of it. You got everyone correct. So teamwork does make the dream work.
Yeah, and it was season 24, which doesn't count.
Right?
Exactly. You're the true winners for forgetting about season 24.
That was our blip.
Yeah. Season 24 can just like drown in fondue. I don't care.
All right, Jess, finish us off. What do you have?
All right, I'm going to bring us home with a quiz that I like to call sausage or nut. And so you guys can play cooperatively on this one. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a name of something and you tell me whether it is a sausage or a nut or neither.
Oh, a little bit of a Unix situation.
Well, yeah.
Oh, my word.
Like these words could be, it could be something associated with sausage. It could be something associated with nut, or it could be neither one.
Oh, boy. All right.
Ooh. All right.
Okay.
So here we go. Number one, Filbert.
Oh, I feel like that's the name of a nut.
Yeah.
I think that's a nut name.
I don't think sausage, so.
All right. Correct. That is a nut. Bless. All right. Next up, we got Merguez.
What?
Merguez.
Is that a sausage?
Correct. That's a sausage.
There we go. Okay, nice.
Okay. Monkey puzzle, nut
maybe makes sense, but is it a neither?
I mean, I guess if it's like a monkey's puzzle where like they can't crack the nut, like maybe they refer to it as a monkey puzzle, right? Because like, oh, it's so, it puzzles the monkeys. Monkey puzzle also sounds like a euphemism for something. If I had to choose between the two, it'd be nut, but I don't know if it's nut or neither, which sounds like another.
Yeah, I'm between nut or neither, but you know, YOLO. Is it nut?
Is it nut? Let's nut.
All right. You may nut. It is correct.
Oh, my word.
You allowed me to nut, finally.
You allowed to nut.
Please share this for best of this week in RHAP.
We are just getting started.
Oh, boy.
All right. Next up, we've got Cha Lua.
Cha Lua.
I can see that as a sausage name.
Yeah. I mean, it's close to like, yeah, Cholula sounds like it's close to chorizo. Cholula is also close to Kahlua, which is a liquor.
Yeah. Oh.
So that's what I was thinking, but then I got distracted by Kahlua. So maybe it is a sausage.
I feel going like, to, yeah.
Going to sausage?
Sausage, okay.
Correct. That is a sausage.
Okay, nice. Ooh.
That is a Vietnamese sausage.
Oh.
Okay. Next up, Luconico.
Luconico. Is that where the FBI people go to train?
No. Not Quantico, Mike.
Okay. That was a good thing, neither.
Oh my God. Luconico nut.
I love that you're now like, okay, does this fit into frame?
Yeah, I'm like really trying to market it, branding.
Luconico sausage. Do you like Luconico sausages or Luconico nut better?
I think sausage, but oh my God, is it neither? We haven't had neither yet.
Let's go with neither. Let's go off the table here. Is it neither?
Incorrect. It is a sausage.
Oh. Should have gone with first nut.
You're pen and ran yourself out of it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next up, we got Heliconia.
Heliconia.
That's giving nut.
That's giving me nut energy.
Heliconia sausage. Yeah. Sausage.
No, I'm feeling you as well. Heliconia does sound like a type of nut. I mean, maybe it's also close to Patagonia. I'm just going with like, what does it sound like to me? Like a jacket brand.
That's also a geographic place, Mike. Just making
nope,
sure
it's
you
not,
know.
It's just a jacket. They named the country after the area after the jacket.
Capitalism.
Should we nut?
Let's nut.
All right, let's not.
It's not time to nut. This is neither. A heliconia is a type of flower.
Oh, God.
Oh, it does sound like that now that I think about it.
All right. Next up, we got longaniza.
I think longaniza's got to be a sausage, right? Like, yeah. I know that's sort of playing into it, but I feel like it's
maybe
right
it's
there.
Not 9 feet, but it's still a.
It's still longaniza.
Yeah.
All right, longaniza sausage.
You're correct. That is a sausage.
Okay.
All right. Karuka.
Oh, that could be both.
That could be both. Karuka nut sounds like the name of a drag queen. Like, what do we do? Oh, we Karuka nut. That's how we get it. That's how we get the meat inside.
Yeah, I like the nut, but it could be either or. That's hard.
Let's go with nut. We'll say nut.
Yeah, let's do it.
Correct. That's a nut.
Oh, nice.
First gut is correct. Got it.
Yep. Your gut said nut.
That's what I want, cross stitch. On the other side of you can tame it, you can tame it.
All right. Oh my God. Next up, we got Atababa.
Atababa.
Sausage.
You think sausage? I thought nut.
Oh.
Atababa nut. I just think Atababa it flows so well. Nut.
This is like a Middle Eastern thing, right?
Now I'm thinking about like what could probably be in the delicacies there.
Right. And nut would make more or neither. Is it a spice or something?
Yeah, you know what? Maybe it's this thing where if we can't agree, we should go neither. We should just go with the third option.
Let's
third
try
party.
It.
All right. That is incorrect. That is a nut. It is a cultivar of hazelnut.
Oh,
man.
Is it from the Middle East?
I don't know.
Okay.
It also could be, it reminded me of Addis Ababa, which obviously is in Ethiopia. So I was like, wait.
All right. Next up, we got Malabar.
Malabar.
Oh, I believe that's a. Oh my God. Is it? I think that's a nut.
Malabar.
Or Malabar.
Malabar sounds like the name of a city.
Yeah.
But I guess maybe the city's named after the nut.
Maybe it's not a nut. Maybe the neat Malabar sausage? I feel like I've heard this with something and I don't know where.
Right. Well, I'll go with your gut then. What do you think?
Oh my God. I don't know. Were you thinking nut? Then I think we could try.
I mean, let's try nut. Let's see.
All right, you're correct. That one is a nut.
Oh my God.
That's a chestnut cultivar.
Bless.
All right. Next up, we got castoreum.
Castorium.
Castorium. That sounds like panic room.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds like an asylum.
Yeah, or like a BDSM thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, like Christian Grey is like, I'm going to show you my castorium.
Exactly.
So I feel like it's either going to be sausage or neither. Like this, I'm no-nutting right now.
Okay.
Let's do sausage. You think, let's go sausage.
All right, it is neither.
Oh.
Castorium is a secretion that comes from a beaver.
Oh my god. Oh, so we should have got a nut and we would have been right.
Yeah.
It's nowhere near that.
Technicality.
Oh, Malabar is a type of burrata. That's why I knew it. Oops. Anyway, I just needed to look at it. It's an Indian food.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Nice. Yeah, I was like, wait, I've heard this.
All right. All right. Next up, we got Mongongo.
Oh, Mongongo. That's like Mofongo.
It's not like Mofongo.
It's a Caribbean dish.
Right.
Also, I'm looking up Castorium. I'm pretty sure there was an episode of The Angry Beavers about Castorium, which I think there was. How I know about it.
Yeah.
They use it to make perfume.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
I'm into it.
All right. So,
Mongongo. I feel like it has to be one of the two.
And I think it's got to be nut.
Yeah. I like the nut. Yeah.
You're correct. It is a nut.
It just sounds nicer.
Yeah. I was like, I like it. It works.
Okay. Next, we have Andouille.
That's a sausage, right? Because Andouille sausage.
I think that's it.
You're correct. It is a sausage. Good job.
Because I think that totally makes sense coming from like the African side of things to like the New Orleans stuff.
Right.
Like it makes sense that it would sort of maybe be interpolated from Andouille to Andouille.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Whew, for someone that keeps kosher, look at me.
I might be talking out of my ass there, but that sounds like that would make sense.
Yeah. Watch us again. Someone's going to add us. Actually, it's from Switzerland.
All right. So next up, we got gooey duck.
Ooh,
gooey duck's a sausage.
Yeah, because I was like, I've seen too many shows with gooey duck.
Yep, too many times where they're like, it's the gross proteins challenge. Like, oh man, gooey duck.
Like that. Yeah, I don't wait, but gooey. Hold on. Gooey duck is like, I don't believe. Wait. Pause.
Oh wait.
No, I think it's neither. Wait, I take it back. It's neither.
Okay, we could go with neither.
You're correct. A gooey duck is a type of clam.
Yeah, it's the big arm
of the clam. Yeah.
Yeah, so, yes.
All right, cool. Canarium.
Canarium.
Is it Castorium? This time it's a squirrel.
Oh boy. Oh, yeah. What are all these woodland creatures doing with their bodies? All right, so
Canarium nut?
Canarium nut makes more sense.
Right.
And by the way, I did look it up, and it does seem like Andouille is a variation of Andouille sausage.
Okay, cool. Mm. So we weren't
weren't completely off.
No, you're right.
All right. So
I want to say neither for the meme at this point.
Neither for the memes.
All right. Well, a canarium is a type of nut.
Oh.
Aww.
Well, I was waiting for the animal secretion, you know.
Yeah, I only had one animal secretion in there.
Oh man,
that was just really for you, RATPOC. Okay, snorkers.
Snorker sounds like a brand of something, but I don't know if that's
like Smuckers, right?
Yeah, I guess I was thinking
name like snorkers,
snorkely,
snorkers. Snorkers sausage. Again, that sounds more like a brand, but like I could see that as opposed to Snorkers nut.
Snorkers nut. Snorkers sounds like more of a brand than.
So it might be neither then.
Oh, that's so hard. Yeah. That's
all right. We'll go with neither.
All right. It is a sausage. It is a British slang term for sausages.
Oh, what?
Ooh, okay. Like, let's go get some snorkers.
Sure.
Like not as getting wordled out of this.
Better than banger, I suppose, in terms of a sausage euphemism.
I guess so.
Oh, that's what bangers and mashes?
Yeah, bangers and mashes, sausage and mashed potatoes.
Oh.
You've never been fed by Mrs. Featherbottom, clearly.
No.
Oh, dear. Okay, next up, YOLO.
Not this.
Oh, okay. Do you feel, I feel like, all right, so let's big brain this, because it could have been obviously like, oh, it's neither. It's a phrase circa 2011.
Well, it's a county in Davis.
It could also be that they named a brand of nuts YOLO because they wanted to keep it hip for the kids. The kids haven't been eating nuts. So they're like, we're going to name, like, here's Macklemore brand of nuts. They're called YOLO.
Yeah, I mean, oh my God. Yeah, I mean, YOLO County does exist. It, that's where UC Davis is. It's in YOLO County.
What a time to go to nuts. School
there. Yeah. Let's do it. Let's try it.
YOLO nuts.
Yep, YOLO.
You are correct. Your reasoning is faulty, but yeah,
I just have the complete wrong logic.
Although now I want that. I want it to be like, you know, next to the sunflower seeds at the convenience store. It's a type of walnut, apparently.
Oh,
okay. I thought it was something, you know, how like they sometimes name like species of spiders or other things out of like pop culture. They're like, oh yeah, YOLO nuts.
Chad Spider, yeah.
Chad Spider would say YOLO nuts.
Is Chad the tarantula is now the mascot of?
Yeah, and he wears like a backwards cap. Nuts.
Yes, I like it.
For some reason, I'm gonna have to. Look, yeah, Chad Spider wants you to eat nuts, YOLO nuts. You better be eating those YOLO nuts,
or he'll come visit you.
Damn it! I'm gonna have to draw this now.
Yes, please, Chad Spider.
I need it.
But you have Chad to draw Spider. Him like. The Chad meme, right? It's like Chad Spider versus what, like a nerd fly, virgin fly, well, I think is what it is.
I think I want the packaging on the YOLO nuts with like Chad Spider telling everybody, you know, you're going to love my nuts.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because YOLO, exactly. Yeah. I
prepare
like
to get nutted.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, get your nut. All right. So next up, we got Chipolata.
Oh, Chipolata.
Sausage.
So I'm thinking sausage as well.
Let's go with it.
Let's go with sausage.
All right, it is a sausage.
Oh, yay.
Nice.
Okay,
I like it.
Sounds good. Yeah. Mulita.
Mulita.
Mulita. Nut. Mulita nut.
Mulita nut.
Will you eat a nut?
It sounds like Mulita nut.
Well, YOLO.
This guy will do anything. Mully to nut.
Oh my God.
So now I think for the pun, now we this have to do so it. Now it's going to be Mully to nut.
Listen, I'm all about the meme and clout here. So let's do it.
Oh, well, Mully to no nuts, but Mully to taco.
Oh.
Mully to is a type of taco.
I was going to say, if it was a nut, that could have been Chad Spider's catchphrase for no YOLO nut. This Mully to nut.
It's true. All right. And finally, our last one, Lapchung.
That's a sausage, right? I'm
trying to think. There's Lapsung, which is tea. But Lapchung sausage. Yeah, I don't think it's Lapchung nut.
No, I really
think just and sausage. just went with the neither. So I think we're going to go sausage here.
Yep, you're correct. It is sausage. You guys did really great. I didn't keep track, so I don't know how great you did, but I'm proud of you.
We won. Yay.
The true winner is marketing for their new brand, YOLO Nuts.
It's true. And I feel like we kept it family, and that was also good.
Kept it in the family, much like you like to do when you nut.
And now we need the explicit.
Yeah,
so
now,
I did an entire quiz about sausage and nuts, and Mike Bloom is the one that gets the credit for taking it all the way.
No,
listen, you took us there most of the way. You absolutely, I wouldn't. You walk so I could run. So thank you, and thank you for teaching us what comes out of beavers as well. Like we have learned so much today between Switzerland, what they're known for. If they're known for belts, apparently they're also known for bikes. They're known for cheese, and we know a lot about now nuts and sausage as well. So,
and beavers.
Who's to say podcast can't be educational? This was truly fantastic. Sasha, thank you so much for getting to come on. I love talking reality TV with you in general, let alone something like The Amazing Race that you have clearly so much passion for that you're talking about it every week over on Silent Podcast. Why don't you talk a bit about that as well as all the other podcasts that you have going on?
Yeah, every week I cover The Amazing Race. It's for fun, not like I said, please watch this podcast first to get all the like information. And then maybe you can come to Silent Podcast for just nuts or sausage, basically. So yeah, I'm covering that every week with a new guest. This week I had Naomi Calhoun on, and we talked a lot about just like silly things, obviously. And then behind the show of reality, like TV, and you know what goes on. So go check that out. It's anywhere you listen to podcasts. It's out. And also I was on the Celebrity Big Brother, I don't know, deep dive, like trying to teach Rob and Taryn who the Real Housewives are. So I was just on that yesterday. So also go check that out. I'm assuming you already have, but still, make sure you do. And I think that's it for me. So if you want to know what else I'm up to, you can follow me on Twitter at funsize_04.
Yeah, I really recommend the deep dive into the celebrities, particularly because I think the general consensus reaction to the Celebrity Big Brother cast was like, huh. And I think Sasha does a really great job of being able to just get into like who they are first and foremost and what that might possibly mean for what we're going to see over the next month. I mean, listen, if Cynthia Bailey does a Fruit Loop friendship contract, then we'll know, Sasha, that your research was truly not for naught.
Thank you. That's all I require now. I mean, I'm sure she needs to. She has to. Please, production, make her.
And of course, you can follow the rest of us, Jess at Haymaker Hattie, myself at A Mike Bloom Type. We gave out all of our plugs on the recap show. But Jess, any other stuff you want to talk about before we hop back to the Amazing Race proper?
No, I've got nothing. I'm back to the serious stuff insofar as that podcast is at all serious. But this was really, really fun. Sasha, yeah. I loved having you on. This was really a great time all around.
Thank you. This true. It was just so much fun. Nonstop laughter. Like love everything Amazing Race with y'all.
Well, the it's very much mutual. I hope all of you out there enjoyed it as well. Again, not sure when we'll come back with the next Tar Pit. Who knows? We might end up turning this into like an every other leg thing if they are spending two legs in every country. Might be an easy way to do it. We'll certainly bring you a guest no matter what, especially as, again, as Sasha mentioned, Celebrity Big Brother's kicking up. We're moving into the 1 month point before Survivor 42 happens and Big Brother Canada. So lots of things going on in the reality TV sphere, and we are eternally grateful to everyone who spends their time with us as we talk all about sausage, nuts, Switzerland, and so much more. Tom Brady news thrown in there too. Truly an odds and ends. Like, we really are making a sausage here. I'm just grinding up all the various meats of topics into a sausage, and I hope you all find it tasty. So thank you all so much for listening. No matter what, myself, Jess, Rob will be back next time with leg 6 of the Amazing Race 33 as we are going to Corsica to see what happens with the final 6 teams. Until then, take care. Bye-bye.